The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 31st of May, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. A good morning, Bahamas. It is Tuesday, and today I will have representatives from the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas and the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection joining us to discuss PAHO's Hurricane Preparation Campaign 2022. Before we get into that, just a bit of what's in the news. Yesterday, I indicated that there was a new union forming, and it has been confirmed. Belinda Wilson is the president of this new union. There wasn't much commentary, but I'm glad to see the commentary today. The Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress has recently been formed. It's very, very interesting. I was quite surprised by today's story. I think it is in The Guardian. Not everybody is happy. The NTCUB says good riddance to unions that broke away. And in all that I've read this morning, it's just a lot of politics and very little governance. And it leads me to ask the question, has politics completely and totally infiltrated or consumed the labor movement? Is this move good for the workers? Is it good for the union leaders? Or is it good for the government? Is this a development that's been in the works for years? Or is this a response to the union action that took place immediately prior to the last election, the 2021 election, with the memorandum of understanding signed between, and I think this is a this was a precedent at the time, between Trade Congress and an opposition party and leader. It's the royal opposition, but still, I know that all of that requires intense interrogation. It's very important to find out why this is happening. So when the acting President Sherry Benjamin of the National Congress of Trade Unions Bahamas, when she speaks and expresses the sentiment, good riddance, that they were disruptive anyway, when she speaks and says this, it makes me very, very concerned for the state of labor in the country. Because over the last roughly two and a half years, we have, I think we've seen a devolution or degradation of workers' rights in the country. Just the entire culture, just the entire labor culture has devolved significantly. And for me, particularly, this is troubling as an advocate, you know, sort of looking from the outside in, while politics and governance in the political space continue to devolve, the unions seem to be a space of certainty, right? Particularly with their engagement with the International Labor Organization and the implementation of global standards, you know, in the Bahamas. But this is very troubling, and it's particularly troubling a few days before Labor Day parade and Labor Day activities. And we're hearing more about y'all internal political machinations than about what you have done and achieved for the workers in this particularly troubling time, and what you have prepared for Labor Day celebrations. Don't become like these politicians, putting politics over everything. In fact, I want to say it like this: stop becoming politicians. How about that? Stop using the labor movement as a launching pad for your political career. I mean, I thought this was obvious and simple. How you could do that? How you could join a labor movement or union, and not as a worker that joins a union to be represented, but as leadership to represent people and to advocate on behalf of the workers and within the space. But really, your eyes are on the prize. And the prize sits in the House of Assembly, or better yet, in the cabinet room. What concerned me most is that in the state's discussion about the livable wage and the minimum wage, I don't think I've heard one labor union representative say that the government cannot set a livable wage. Scientists and economists determine what a livable wage is based on cost of living and inflation and cost of food and you know, projections on pay rises, all of these things. And then the government determines how close to the livable wage they can set the minimum wage. And I don't think I heard one union rep point that out. Anyway, we've got a full show today. I don't think I'm even going to have a chance to talk about this story in the Tribune, Domes for Rent. Emergency homes in Abaco have been secretly rented out. Well, what you expect the people to do? They have to figure out how they can fly to Nassau to get into an actual shelter if another storm comes. It's 2022 and y'all ain't built the hurricane shelter yet, right? You have to go and find out who is supposed to be living in the domes. I think what we need to do is we need to just fold up the entire Disaster Recovery Authority. Fold it up. Put it in an envelope. Seal the envelope. Put it in the drawer where you put the Oban file. And when we find it again, then we know that we are ready to continue with that effort. Producer, my guests are in the Zoom room? Awesome. So we have an exciting conversation this morning. Tomorrow is June 1st. That marks the beginning of hurricane season in the Bahamas, although when you live in a hurricane zone, every day is hurricane season. And it's about time that we started having some real conversations, inundating the airwaves and our televisions and our homes with conversations about hurricane preparedness. Just in case y'all didn't know, it feels like a mini hurricane hit us last night, and we are still living through it. So let me introduce My guest this morning, today joining us from the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, is Ms. Tamika Dean. Good morning, Ms. Dean.
Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone.
And joining us from the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection is the Director of the Department, Dr. Rihanna Neely. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Good, thank you. And I'm not certain, do we have a representative from PAHO in the room?
I'm here.
Hi, good morning. Can you introduce yourself, please?
A very pleasant good morning to you and your guests and the entire Bahamas. I'm Dr. Wendy Fernander. I'm a clinical psychologist.
Hi, good morning. Great to have you all. So we are talking about PAHO's Hurricane Preparation Campaign 2022. If you give me a moment just to introduce the organizations that you work with for the audience. PAHO, or the Pan American Health Organization, is the specialized international health agency for the Americas. It works with countries throughout the region to improve and protect people's health. PAHO engages in technical cooperation with its member countries to fight communicable and non-communicable diseases and their causes, to strengthen health systems and to respond to emergencies and disasters. PAHO is committed to ensuring that all people have access to the health care they need, when they need it, with quality and without fear of falling into poverty. Through its work, PAHO promotes and supports the right of everyone to good health. Now, Ms. Dean joins us from the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, and the Insurance Commission is an independent regulatory agency with responsibility for regulating all insurance activity in and through the Bahamas. It serves as the prudential and market conduct regulator and provides ongoing monitoring and control of all domestic insurers, agents, brokers, salespersons, adjusters, underwriting managers, and external insurers. And the Department of Environmental Planning and the mandate of the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection is to provide for the prevention of or control of pollution, the regulation of activities, and the administration, conservation, and sustainable use of the environment and for connected purposes. The department also manages multilateral environmental agreements. The department manages research permit applications for scientific investigations involving or affecting natural resources within the Bahamas. In addition, the department is responsible for the development and implementation of policies, programs, and plans for the effective management and conservation of the physical environment within the Bahamas. Good morning, and I'm glad to have you with us this morning. Now, I have some questions, but I would love for you each to start the discussion from where you think is the most important perspective. Ms. Dean from the Insurers, or Ms. Dean from the Insurance Commission?
Sure, good morning to you all again. Again, my name is Tamika Dean, Manager of Intermediaries and Market Conduct here at the Insurance Commission. And so you talked about where should we start the discussion, and I think obviously, June 1 would start the hurricane preparation, the hurricane season. And so for me, I would advise everyone to ensure that they are prepared for the season and to ensure that they have adequate coverage, ensure that they know their policies, and ensure that they are ready and that they have done all of the necessary things to be ready to meet the demands of the season.
Absolutely. Now, when you say check that you have adequate coverage, right, does the Insurance Commission provide consumers or potential policyholders with a standard for what adequate coverage would look like for hurricane or disaster preparedness situations?
And so obviously adequate coverage would be based on the policyholder and their insurance company, right? Mm-hmm. And so what would happen is obviously you would go into your insurance company. You would let them know what type of asset you have that needs to be insured. And obviously they would they have professionals in the insurance industry who should go and assess your property to ensure that you have adequate coverage. And so that's the type of things that should go on now that the hurricane season is commencing.
All right. So if you build a shed, or if you put on a patio onto your home, or if your neighbors come in and change the neighboring landscape slightly, those are instances where you should definitely consult your insurance provider to ensure that your existing coverage covers the new additions to your home or the new circumstances?
Yes, definitely. And so we have some persons, obviously, you would have insured your home some 10, 15 years ago. Obviously, that's not the cost of it today. And so we would advise that you go in and have that conversation and update where necessary to ensure that you are covered in all cases.
Right. So a note that I want to make for the audience, particularly because you should call in and or text in and ask questions, but the Insurance Commission is an independent regulatory agency with responsibility for regulating insurance activity throughout the Bahamas. You are not here today to respond to questions about individual insurance policies or claims. Y'all don't do that, right? Y'all don't provide insurance. You regulate the industry.
And that is the case. We do, in fact, regulate the industry. And what we do is we enforce the Insurance Acts, and that's the Insurance Act of 2005 and the External Act of 2009. We also go into insurance companies from time to time and perform what we call on-site examinations. So we test the policies, their procedures, the systems to ensure that persons are advising correctly and not misadvising, to ensure that insurance companies have adequate capital, to ensure that they're solvent, to ensure that they're investing properly and correctly. And so, no, we're not an insurance company. As a matter of fact, from time to time, we try to refer to ourselves similar to the central bank. And so what does central bank do for banks? We do for insurance companies.
Okay, absolutely. Now, if I had a dispute with my insurance company, like, you know, I build a chicken coop, and I tell the people them, look, the chicken coop only cost me $15 to build. My insurance agent say, man, look here, that looked like a $5,000 bill, ma'am. That looked like a $10,000 bill that we have to assess with your insurance. Could I come to the commission to challenge that assessment on my property?
So, yes, to a certain extent, but I will say that all insurance companies are mandated to have a complaints department.
Okay.
And so in the event that, because a lot of times persons, the claim may be denied for whatever the case may be, but the customer have not gone and filed an official complaint. And so many times persons come to the insurance commission and they say to us, oh, I have a complaint. I didn't get my benefit or whatever the case may be. But in some cases, the insurance company is not aware of that.
Okay.
And so what we advise is that you go into your insurance company if you are dissatisfied and file an official complaint. Now, in some cases, that complaint is resolved from the insurance company, and the insurance company and the insurance commission doesn't have to know about it at all. But there are other times when, for whatever reason, they're still not satisfied with the outcome of their complaint, mm-hmm. and they want to actually file a complaint with the insurance commission. And so in that case, the policyholder will get a final position letter on the stance from that, the final stance from that insurance company, and then they would come to the insurance commission and we would mediate between the parties. We do say, however, to our policyholders and beneficiaries that we do not choose sides. We simply look at the contracts between the parties and see if we can come to a resolution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How can and does the Insurance Commission help the insurance industry?
Right. And so one of the things that we try to ensure within the industry is to ensure that the persons are educated. And so at minimum, we have persons refer to themselves as agents, but they are salespersons. So that individual who you may see selling insurance, we ensure that they are obviously they are registered with the Insurance Commission. Mm-hmm. So we test our salespersons to ensure that they are educated, because knowledge is key, right? That's the first thing. How else we help the insurance industry? We ensure that any policy we put out, any new change, obviously we ask for their consultation so that we can be on the same page with one, regulating them, but them too being the persons who onboard the customers. We want to ensure that we're on the same page as well. From time to time, we do travel and gain experience and bring about international best practices to the Bahamas as well. So those are some of the little things that we do to help our industry.
That is awesome. Okay, I've got a ton of questions here for you. Let's start here. Where can people find the commission's information and documentation, like pamphlets, maybe online videos on hurricane preparedness? And then can we go through briefly advice you would give to listeners?
Sure, I can do that for you. So a part of our, you would have talked earlier about complaints. Well, I will tell you that any information that we get on complaints, we collect that data. And that data helps drive our market conduct and consumer awareness program. And so from time to time, you may see our commercials on radio or television. You may also see it on our social media pages. Mm-hmm. Know your customer, know your policy, because we want to find deficiencies within the industry and advise the policyholders so they know up front what's the expectation. So you can look on Facebook at the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, as well as LinkedIn, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, as well as on our website, icb.gov.bs.
Okay, icb.gov.bs.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. And before the end of the show, let's do a checklist for policyholders. A brief checklist on what you have to pay attention to on updating insurance coverage and currency of policies before we end the show. Good morning, Dr. Rhianna Neely, Director of the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection.
Good morning, and good morning, Bahamas.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
Great. So, as we transition into this part of the discussion, the top question on the list is, what are the vulnerabilities for individuals and homeowners, and how do we determine, how do we identify what the risks and vulnerabilities are for the individual and the homeowner as we prepare for hurricane season?
Okay, so I would want to first say that every Bahamian citizen and resident mm-hmm. is vulnerable to the impacts of hurricanes in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. So if you're living in the Bahamas, anywhere among the 700 islands and keys, you are vulnerable to the impacts of the effects of hurricanes. So we've lived through hurricanes. We've seen the damage, the coastal damage, the flooding, damage to infrastructure. All of those things are risks that we are potentially exposed to. Mm-hmm. The Bahamas is a low-lying nation, and so when it rains here, it sometimes gets flooded. We can see it just today traversing along the roads. Mm-hmm. Many of our streets are flooded, and if the rain continues in some of the low-lying residential areas, there is a possibility of flooding. So those are some of the environmental risks. In hurricanes now, you can have the development of tornadoes as well. So we are often admonished not to go outside during a hurricane because of those high winds. Tornadoes could develop and they could take you away. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the major vulnerabilities and risks that we are exposed to as Bahamians and as residents of the Bahamas.
Absolutely. As you were saying that, that the introduction or the increase in tornadic activity during and outside of hurricane season, it made me think in my general hurricane preparedness, I have this timeline and, the important points are when the wind picks up, right? Like that's how I measure my my need for speed. But with the increase of tornadic activity now, you can't use that as your guide, for your home preparation. Because the winds could be very mild, You could be hours away from the onset of a Category 1, but you still could have a tornado just pop up out of nowhere. And so it now, you know, it's prompted me that as soon as you get the hurricane announcement, as soon as you get the severe thunder storm warning or watch, that it's time to begin preparing your house for a storm.
Correct. That is absolutely correct. And I would admonish Bahamians right now, it is May 31st, if you have not yet prepared your household, have not yet prepared yourself for the impacts of storms, you need to know your environment, understand where you live, understand whether you're living in a low-lying area that has potential for flooding. We've seen after Dorian where people were stranded in their houses. So our hurricane preparedness kits have evolved a little bit. We've been asking now to keep hammers and hatchets so that we can get through roofs. We need to know how to swim. In addition to the normal things that we have become accustomed to, carrying our water, our food, our medicines, etc.
Yes, absolutely. How can we change, well, this is a good question. How can we change the culture around emergency and disaster preparedness? What are those things that we traditionally do that we need to begin shifting immediately?
Well, I think the first thing is that we have to take...
Go on. Sorry about that.
Seriously. I've lived in this country. I was born in this country. I've lived here most of my life. And, you know, we know how to make it through storms. And so sometimes we take that for granted. And when we do take that for granted, we often make mistakes. We often do not make sure that our checklist is meticulously checked off and that we are properly prepared for a storm. So the first thing is, like I said, I would take every storm as a serious incident and prepare as if this is going to be the big one, because it can potentially be the big one for each and everyone. A Category 1 storm can have the potential to cause severe damage. It can have the potential to kill people. It can have the potential to injure people. Not only Category 4 and 5 storms, we should fare, essentially. We should take every storm as if this can be it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing that I think about is avoiding panic shopping. Right? Like we wait until a storm is announced or the Met Office tells us we're definitely in the line of the storm to begin preparing our pantry, our storm pantry. But, you know, I'm going to suggest to people that you change the way that you buy food generally, right? Like, so this preparation technique isn't, you just don't begin it when it's hurricane season. Throughout the year, you buy food according to your hurricane plan. So every time we go to the shop, we buy 2 cans that we put in the hurricane pantry, and we do not touch it. Even when things are dire, we leave those things in the pantry, and we adjust our consumption, the amount of food we eat, in our normal budget, and to ensure that we always have a hurricane or a disaster preparedness pantry available to us.
I would also recommend that, and that is something that I practice. I usually go to the food store once a week, and in the weeks leading up to hurricane season, I would put, you know, an extra can of tuna, some spaghetti, make sure that I have pasta and things like that. I have small children in my house. So that you are not under that kind of pressure once a storm is pending, because one, you would ultimately spend more money than you need to shopping in a panic. And you're going to buy things that you don't need to buy. So if you can, as you suggest, go to the food store, as I do, and purchase, you know, spaghetti, tuna. If you use butane for your stove, purchase an extra can of butane so that you don't have to worry about shortages during the crisis time. You will be much better prepared, and you will have better peace of mind, because now you can change your attention possibly to securing your household as opposed to looking for food that is definitely necessary.
Absolutely. When should we create an evacuation plan?
You should have a you should have an evacuation plan 24 hours of the day, 12 months of the year, because anything is possible. I had a conversation with some NEMA officials last week, and they were asking me about the impacts of climate change and disasters, and which is more important. But a disaster can happen at any point in time. We're living in the Atlantic hurricane belt. We've seen from Matthew and Dorian that storms move very quickly and very erratically, but those are not the only things that we have, that we are at risk to, hydrometeorological events. There are other things that we should constantly be prepared for. So you can have your preparedness plan in place if there is a fire, that you will need to pick up a bag and be able to get out of the house quickly. And not have to be concerned about, you know, a passport or those kinds of documents. If those are all in one place that you can just run out of the door and collect. So we should be thinking about these things. These should be constantly in the back of our minds, not just from June 1st to November 30th, but all year round.
Right. And I think hurricane and disaster preparedness, they're not a one-time or a quarterly activity. It's a mindset and a cultural shift. You begin living differently. So I want to say to people, if you live in wooden homes, if you traditionally or frequently use candles and lamps versus a consistent electricity supply, then you should always have a fire safe or a fireproof box to store your important documents in. And I know people are going to say, but Ms. Green, if they can't afford electricity, why do you think they could afford a fireproof box? I think that we look at these things incorrectly sometimes. You can make an investment. People can make an investment in a fireproof box. It's the most important thing if you use candles. You know, I also say to people, begin to regularly include purchasing waterproof and watertight containers and bags, storage containers and bags. Because flooding doesn't just occur in a storm. Flooding doesn't just occur in a hurricane. You could have a man-made disaster in your home. A pipe could break, and all your documents are ruined while you're at work because they weren't stored properly.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
Absolutely. I think I lost you there for a moment. It is 10:42. Dr. Fernanda. Good morning, Dr. Fernanda.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
How are you? I'm sorry to have kept you so long.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm a mental health professional.
Yes, ma'am.
And one of the things that I do know, mental health is often considered last on the agenda.
Yes, ma'am. But not because in this instance it's disregarded, but I think it is the most important part of the conversation because we rarely talk about it and rarely make the connections between mental health and hurricane preparedness and mental health and our environment.
Yep, we certainly do. As I said, it's usually not considered. And one of the things that I often say to people is when you think of hurricane preparedness, the question then is ask, what does mental health have to do with it? And I then say everything. And I think both speakers, particularly Dr. Neely, shared and talked extensively about referencing Dorian. And so we can learn from that. We can learn that mental health should be a part of the preparedness. Mental health should actually be included in every aspect of one's life, one's living in the preparedness, in risk reduction, in hurricane response, every area. So what we have gotten is, I said, Dorian, but also as we look at what we are living right now in this COVID experience, mm-hmm. we see that there is a need for persons to have a sense of well-being And that's what including mental health in preparedness would do, is would allow people to have a sense of well-being, but also those persons who are more reluctant to do, to prepare their homes, their physical structure, and their papers, those, if mental health is included in the preparedness messages, then there's a way that messages can be crafted to reach those persons who are less inclined to be receptive, to do what is necessary for their person, their home, their whatever is necessary for them. Yeah, that's what mental health does. Mental health allows us to be able to craft messages that's beneficial for persons.
Yeah, absolutely. And we often discount it. I spent 3 days in my home during Hurricane Floyd with coconuts and debris just hitting the roof. And I could tell you, you know, after that experience, then I really began to take seriously the mental health aspect of surviving a hurricane. But Dr. Fernanda, give me one brief moment. We have a caller on the line. I want to get to this caller, and then I want to get to some mental health tips for people to prepare and to support their family members for storms and disasters. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Morning.
First-time caller. I just have a quick question for, and anyone can answer it. If you've been paying insurance for years, and then the individual or whoever dies, then after that, they come back and come back to you and say, well, okay, they find a fault with the person, and then all the years you've been paying the insurance, and then they don't want to pay. How do you deal with that?
Is that go on, Ms. Dean.
Okay, so I believe that the question may be for the insurance commission.
Yes.
And I would say that I would advise that you go into your insurance company and file a complaint and find out what's the final position stance and ask the relevant questions. And then if you're not satisfied, you can file a complaint with the insurance commission of the Bahamas.
All right, thank you. We've already done that. We're just waiting now for the process to take place. It's now going into 2 years.
Okay, like I said, I'm not certain of your particular matter, but again, if there is something, you can always call into the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, or you could visit our website and look at our complaints process at icb.gov.bs.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. One more caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning to your guest via Zoom or in studio. Very interesting conversation this morning. In fact, I'm riveted here just listening to the responses by all the participants. And the information shared this morning is so much on point. Mental health in particular is something that some of us have been discussing in the public domain even pre-pandemic, pre-hurricane. Mm-hmm. And it is so, not ironic, but it's so good to know now that it's really taken seriously, especially after the after effects, as we see many persons who we've never seen before walking the streets in the middle of the day, looking up in the sky, you know, walking about aimlessly as if there's no hope. And I think now more than anything, the health professionals in terms of mental health, I think they are now put more on the alert that there are more persons out here dealing with issues unbeknownst to a whole lot of us that we don't understand. And I think now is the time more than ever that if there is a budget, if there is a type of financial regime to help that sector of our society, now is that time. We have too many people out here, Erin, sadly to say. Like I said, on a daily basis, we're seeing them out here hustling, who never had to hustle before in this manner.
Yes.
We've seen many people walking around as if there's no hope. And you know, Yahad would like to do more for them as citizens individually, but as a collective, I believe that we need to put more resources in place to help these persons.
Thank you very
and
much.
I just wanted to congratulate all of your participants on the show today because their messages are well received. And I think we really need now to give the help that is really necessary to help them to help more of our people out there. Thanks for taking my call today.
Absolutely. Thank you, caller. Dr. Fernando, when we come back from the break, we're going right back into mental health. Ms. Dean and Dr. Neely, we're also going to close off the show with top tips for our listeners. We got to go to this break. And when we come back from the break, we're back on the clock with PAHO's Hurricane Preparedness Campaign 2022. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Stand on Bahamas, it's your boy, Sawyer Boy. COVID is clearly unpredictable. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I'm young, and it still put a beating on me. I had no other option but to go to the hospital. I remember the doctor telling me if I had waited one more day, I wasn't going to come inside here alive. You don't want to be in the same position that I was in. Vaccines may not stop you from getting COVID, but it can stop you from getting COVID the way I had COVID. You don't want that way.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This morning we're talking about PAHO's Hurricane Preparation Campaign 2022 with representatives from the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, from the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, and from PAHO itself. Where we left off the conversation, we were talking to Dr. Wendy Fernanda about mental health aspects of hurricane and disaster preparedness. Dr. Fernanda, we want to sort of keep it specific to the hurricane and disaster preparedness aspects of mental health. But I will say this, it's important for everybody to acknowledge that we know that it doesn't matter how prepared you are for a storm or how many resources, how much money or resources you have to prepare for a storm, everybody gets stressed during a storm, and everybody handles their stress differently. What are some tips you have for people who are sheltering with other people for their own mental health and wellness and to support the mental health and wellness of others around them?
Okay. Yep. So what I would like to say, and I'm fully aware, I think at the onset you mentioned the housing situation in Abaco, and I would like to say I'm fully aware that there are some persons who still remain displaced. So what I want to encourage them to do is to And I am representing PAHO, but I'm president of Bahamas Psychological Association. And so as president of Bahamas Psychological Association, BPA has been doing a whole lot of work with these people in Abaco, Grand Bahama, and in New Providence. So talk about how you are feeling. This is something that we often do not do. Okay, mm-hmm. This is specific to our preparedness. This is specific to persons who may still be displaced. Talk about how you're feeling. Talk about the frustration, the anger. Name how you're feeling. That's what we don't do very often as a people. Mm-hmm. Is we don't name what it is that we are feeling. Talk about that, and then take the time to engage in some self-care for you. And that may simply mean, well, it's raining now, it's a bit cloudy, so, but it may mean just taking a few minutes in catching sunlight, going for walk, talking, self-care, and then plan for, this is, tomorrow is the 1st of June, we don't know what it will look like for us in the next 6 months. What we do know is, according to prediction, this is going to be a very active hurricane season. So make plans. Someone talked about planning for evacuation, plans for all eventualities. Mm-hmm. And then establish your social network. And those persons who you may not have reached out to because you were so stressed and overwhelmed, reach out to those persons and establish that social network. Don't forget to ask for help. Ask for help if you feel that you need it. And it may be that it doesn't have to be a professional. It may be just someone, a friend. It may be a relative. And if for whatever reason it is that you may require help from a professional, don't be afraid to reach out. As I said, I'm president of Bahamas Psychological Association, and we have a number of helplines available. People call. We provide support. So that's what I would say.
Absolutely. Thanks. I want to remind the people that have a duty of care in the process of hurricane preparedness, whether at the family level, like parents, at the community level, whether you're contracted landscapers, whether you are MP and community representatives, or at the state level, whether you have a job with Ministry of Works or Public Infrastructure or any type of business, that people are so overwhelmed in a storm that, when they can rely on the services, when they can trust that things that are supposed to be done are done, that allows people to enter these sort of chaotic or hectic psychological spaces with a better balance, because that's something that they don't have to worry about, right? And so, from a professional perspective, I want to remind us that it's important to do your job, because people rely on you for their survival, and not just like the physical survival, but the psychological and mental health and wellness. And so for parents, work on plans, talk to your children about the plan. When they know that you have a plan, they feel safer and more confident that they will traverse the storm or the disaster or the trials with little tumult and upset.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I have a text here I think is important to read. It says, great show as usual. I work in the architecture field. It says the best thing to do with new construction is a short overhang, but it gets better. It says, remind people that flood insurance and hurricane insurance are two different things, right? And so, Ms. Tamika Dean, remind the audience where they can go to access information from the Insurance Commission.
Sure. So you could find information on our website, www.icb.gov.bs, as well as our social media pages, Facebook and LinkedIn, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
Absolutely. Dr. Neely, how can we access information from the Department of, what, DEPP, the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection? Oh, I am sorry, we lost Dr. Neely. If anybody at the department is listening, you guys are welcome on the show anytime. Tell Dr. Neely we really appreciated her contributions this morning. And Dr. Fernanda, can you remind us briefly how to get in touch with the Bahamas Psychological Association?
Okay, so we have, like I said, a number of helpline, and so it's on our webpage, Bahamas Psych Association. It's on our Facebook page, and it's on Instagram.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you very much, ladies, and look out for a call from On the Clock to continue this conversation as we move through the hurricane season. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Thank you for your texts and your calls. Thank you to one of the greatest producers in the world. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Guardian Radio in the AM is up next. Have a great, safe day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.